Today is Sunday, July 16th, 2017, and this...
We're done one on our welcome around here. It's time to move on. The greener pastures. Las Vegas, baby. Where the big fish swim.
Along with every shark known to man.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 608.
Las Vegas! Amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. You dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Honey, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Vegas is waiting out on the streets below.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. How are you?
Fantastic. We're going to talk about some Vegas stuff now.
Okay.
Okay. So, before we get to the news, before we talk about Vegas stuff, this podcast is supported by more than 200 listener patrons. They are wonderful people, and they include Jolly Mangina. That's quite a name.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see that birth certificate. His parents clearly have a great sense of humor, his or her. Jeremy Kassman, Cam and Patty McIntyre, Stephen and Heather Pingree, Danielle and Tim Malik, and Kelly Zancarella. I'd like to see Kelly Zancarella's
birth certificate
too. I'm pretty sure that's not the name on it.
That's okay.
It is okay. All right. Thank you very much to all of you for supporting the show. We do appreciate it. I have a new column coming out this week. I have to put that together for Patreon patrons and some other stuff coming up. If you would like to support the show on an ongoing basis and get some bonus content, visit patreon.com/500. And we thank you all so much for your support. Okay, so we got some news. I need to adjust the levels a little bit here because I think shit's going weird. Okay, hopefully that's a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
First, we have this.
This week,
rest assured that I was on the internet within minutes, registering my disgust throughout the world.
In outrage.
This is bullshit!
Oh, it's been a little while since we've had some parking news. But unfortunately, we do have some this week, causing outrage amongst those who care about such things. Self-parking will no longer be free at Wynn and Encore as of August 7th, just a few weeks away. They've announced fees. They've already been charging for valet parking, so this is just additional if you want to park on your own. The fees are 1 hour for free, so you can run in, play a few slots, run out, leave, come back, start the hour again, and continue to do that until you're done. That seems like a bad idea, but someone will probably do it. All right, 1 to 2 hours, $7. 2 to 4 hours, $12. 4 to 24 hours, $15. And then after that, it's $15 for up to 24 hours additional. So, sorry to folks who drive in or rent cars. One less option for you. There's still a few holdouts on the strip for paid parking. Treasure Island, Tropicana, probably Casino Royale. So you still have a few options if you're resourceful. All right, let's move on to more interesting things. The Las Vegas Sun publication, I believe it's a newspaper, had an interview with the CEO of Cosmopolitan this week. His name is Bill Macbeth, and he included a few interesting items in his discussion with the Sun.
Tell me more.
The one I found most noteworthy is that room renovations are underway. They are renovating all of their rooms with the exception of those that they just opened, the high-end luxury suites that they finally completed. A $100 million project. There wasn't a timeline included, but everything's getting a revamp. So,
That's good.
Property's been open, what, 5-6 years now, something like that?
Seven.
Yeah. See, I'm always so good with my estimates on time.
I think it was 2010, I think.
Okay. Well, they're definitely due for a renovation then, if that's correct.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see what they come up with in terms of new furniture and colors and overall looks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it will be most lovely, and I look forward to seeing them. Another note in there is that So one of the things I just mentioned, the high limit or the high end penthouse suites that they recently opened. They've also put in a private gaming area for people with a butt ton of money that they want to spend.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what the minimum is. It's a ridiculous amount to get in this room. But
we will never get in that room.
No. They're clearly trying to cater to high rollers more than they have in the past, or at least they're increasing their amenities that would be attractive to high rollers. And one of those things that they're considering adding is a high-end Chinese restaurant, which they did not, Mr. Macbeth did not say. Every time I say Macbeth, I want to start singing Beth by Kiss.
Huh.
I can't help it. Did not say where that would go, so don't know if a current restaurant would be closing or if they would squeeze that in elsewhere, but there might be a high-end Chinese restaurant coming. And then the biggest point in the article is that they're doing quite well financially now. They are exceeding their projections, and apparently they've turned things around. So this is good news for Cosmo. For us, I'm not so sure, though. So there have been rumors that MGM Resorts is interested in buying them and that there were meetings and things like that, and he dispelled those rumors saying, you know, we had a meeting, but it wasn't anything like pressing. It was just a courtesy meeting. There are no immediate plans to sell. However, the company that owns Cosmo now, that's what they do. They buy properties or they buy stuff. It's not just real estate, but they buy stuff. They improve it, make it more profitable, and then flip it and make a profit. So he said, yes, we will be selling this,
mm-hmm.
but it'll be a while. So what that means, who knows? It could be a year. and whether or not it's to MGM Resorts, we don't know. I think that's the assumption just based on the location because mm-hmm. it's sandwiched amongst other MGM Resorts properties. But time will tell. I'd rather see somebody independent own that.
Oh, absolutely.
But we shall see. So that's the scoop at Cosmo. They're making some money now. And if you've been through the casino now compared to when the first several years it was open, you can see a big difference. There's a lot more people playing.
Yeah.
They even talked about how when he came on, there was no real strategy as far as how they laid out their slot machines. And usually there's a lot of thought put into that.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah, he said, so they've put a lot more focus on those sorts of things, layouts and making sure to maximize the profitability of their machines. Mm-hmm. And he said it's been very successful. So, seems like previous management maybe focused on different areas and the casino.
Casino's a bit of an afterthought.
Yeah. All right. Downtown, there is an expansion happening at Golden Gate. If you've been down there on Fremont Street lately, you know you've seen the construction taking place. And just a day or two ago, the owner of Golden Gate, Derek Stevens, tweeted out a photo. There are new graphics on the construction wall at Golden Gate announcing that you can see Golden Gate's new look, which I would assume means that the expansion will open on August 25th. So if you've been waiting to see the expanded casino, it's coming very, very soon. So the entire additional space, which used to be an alley and then La Bayou, which has since been torn down, that space is going to entirely be occupied by additional casino space. So, you know, Golden Gate's a dinky little place, so we're going to see more machines in there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're planning on putting any tables in that new casino space, but for sure we'll see a lot more machines. So that's the scoop there. Also downtown Grand, which we've been talking about a lot lately because they've been trying some different things. They are starting a new promotion called Third Thursdays on Third, which is very clever alliteration, and they're very proud of that. Beginning on July 20th, this Thursday, outside of downtown Grand on 3rd Street, they're going to have a street festival, and they're going to do this every month as long as it's
successful. When are they going to do it every month? Will they're it be the third Thursday?
Second Wednesday every other month. Food trucks, there's going to be some sort of a street art battle where they bring in a couple street artists, and they have 90 minutes to do something phenomenal.
Hmm.
And then one of them is proclaimed the winner, I would imagine. They probably win like a $5 gift certificate for Triple George. I don't know. The games for the family. I don't know if it's a family thing or not. They'll have a DJ. They'll have giveaways, all kinds of stuff to do. Presumably they'll have, drinks available out there and whatnot. So they're finally at least doing something with that space. They can close that down and use it whenever they want. They have the right of way there. So a lot of us have been saying for a long time, they should use that space more often and attract more people from Fremont by having things going on that are mm-hmm. visible outside. You know, they tried a few things that were just like on the sidewalk. They had their silly street dice thing, which lasted about a day.
Mm-hmm.
They had some outdoor gambling, which is great, but you can't really see that from Fremont. You can't. No. It doesn't generate activity, like visible activity. You got to make some noise. You got to have stuff going on. People
gathering.
Didn't they
have a wheel at one point?
Oh, yeah. They had a wheel and flashing lights. Mm-hmm. And that was the right concept, but it had a certain used car lot feel about it and didn't really do the trick. But this is, I think they're on the right track with this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make some noise, get some music in there, give people a reason to come down there. The food truck thing is a really good idea.
Yeah.
I think doing that will draw people. So, yeah, we'll see how this does. I hope it does well and maybe they expand it and have it beyond just one day a month. I would say it would be better if it was at least one day a week. But who knows?
Maybe, baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps. Exactly. They need to have bands out there on weekends. They need to do all kinds of stuff. But again, they're at least giving it a shot. Restaurant news. Planet Daily's, which is a pretty good 24-hour restaurant at Planet Hollywood right on the edge of the casino floor. I think we've talked about it several times. It's become one of our, over the years, kind of a go-to place when we're in the I don't know where do you want to go conversation,
mm-hmm.
and we're just really hungry and it's dependable. So very good choice. That is going to be closed for a while. Apparently a few weeks ago there was a water pipe that burst in the casino area, and Planet Daily sustained a bunch of damage. So they decided, since they were already going to have to deal with that, they're going to renovate the whole place. So it's going to be closed until October. So if you're going to be in Vegas in the next couple months and plan to go there, you might need to come up with a different option. So that is happening. And then another restaurant closure coming up. Mirage announced this week that they will be closing their Brazilian steakhouse permanently. Samba Steakhouse.
It's been around a long time.
Yeah, I know. As long as I can remember. I don't know if that was probably not an original restaurant, but who knows? It's been there for ages, as long as I can remember. And that's going to be closing on August 31st. They're making room for a new restaurant, but they have not yet announced what that will be. So again, if you had your heart set on that, there are still, I think, a couple other Brazilian steakhouses in Vegas, but the one in Mirage now closed. Mm-hmm. Finally, this is a late addition to our show notes this morning. The previously mentioned Kelly Zancarella, longtime friend of the show, discovered a new room option and shared it on our Facebook group last night. Okay, so at Gold Spike, there's now a 344-square-foot tiny house available for rent if you want to stay in a tiny house during your stay in Las Vegas. I'm moderately intrigued by this, but the realities of it would be hellish.
Mm-hmm.
It's located in the backyard space at Gold Spike, which is their outdoor party area. So not probably the most quiet of accommodations.
Yeah.
I would suggest that, much like when we had our awesome, I'm going to mention it at every possible opportunity, when mm-hmm. we had our awesome Cosmopolitan room that opened up to Marquee,
mm-hmm.
there was a disclaimer that if you actually plan on sleeping there when Marquee is open, you might want to get a different room. I would say that's probably the same thing for Gold Spike. If you plan on getting a lot of sleep, you might want to plan on sleeping somewhere else and have this be your little party hut.
Party hut.
Well, that's got to be what it is.
Yeah.
Because apparently there is a fenced-in private front yard area of the tiny house. I don't know if the whole thing is surrounded. I suspect based on, there are pictures of a tiny house on the website that looks just like this one, same model, but it's in the middle of like a grassy field. That's certainly not what you're getting at Gold Spike.
No.
So, you know, there's going to be a lot of activity around where you're staying and might be a little challenging. So it accommodates up to 6 people. It has a loft and a pull-out bed, and they're really clever with their use of space in these tiny little shit boxes.
I just thought of a problem.
Just one?
Well, you know how their lofts are sometimes creative as far as accessing them? Like, sometimes there'll be a climbing wall and shit?
Yeah, I don't know if they've done that. I think it might just be a ladder, but yes.
Drunk people and challenging stuff like that might not be the best combo.
I know. We talked about that when the Link put in its bunk bedrooms. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is probably a similar situation. That could be an issue. I hadn't thought about that, but yeah. Okay, so it's called the Sugar Shack, and it's available. The rates start, They say that rates start at $250 during the week and $500 on weekends, but Kelly said she found a $150 night in September, so you might be able to find something cheaper. Bottle service is available, so that tells you, again, what you need to know, that this is more of a party hut than a... I really want one of our listeners to stay here and give us a full report.
I do, too.
I'm not going to do it, but it also includes a fireplace, so... Like not an outdoor fire pit, but it has a, I'm guessing, a gas fireplace. So you can stay toasty warm in your, in the middle of the summer, fire up your fireplace.
Oh, and, God.
Yeah. If you're interested in this, you can visit goldspike.com/sugar-shack. You can take a look at it and evaluate whether or not this is something you'd like to do. It would certainly be a different experience, but, if you're actually planning on using it for sleeping and stuff, I would be very concerned about privacy as well.
Oh, yeah. And, like, people coming and going and stuff, how do they control, like,
yeah, I mean, maybe access? Maybe the whole thing is enclosed in some manner. But I don't know. I got the feeling it was just part of it, based on the way that they worded the description. I don't know. Maybe we'll get... I didn't look beyond their website for actual photos of this thing. And I don't know if it's in place yet or if they're just promoting it. So, like I said, this is a late addition to the show notes. So I didn't do much research on it, but I'm going to see if there are actual photos. It would be very interesting to see the actual layout of this thing, if it's in the middle of the backyard or if it's off to one corner or exactly how they're positioning this thing. But are you going to see what you can find while we listen to the first call or two? Okay. Well, we're going to move on. We got a bunch of calls this week, so we're going to move on to that, and then if you find something, we can come back to it. So let's start with this one.
Hi, this is Elizabeth, and I am here in Boulder City, actually not in Las Vegas. My husband and I are headed to Las Vegas tomorrow for a conference for him, but the prices for this evening for a Saturday night were exorbitant. So we decided to stay in Boulder City at the Hoover Dam Lodge, and we have found it to be an extremely odd experience. And I thought that maybe other people might want to know this. The slots pretty much suck. There's no table games. The food is bad in the bar area, but the restaurant is strangely really good. And we have also this kind of amazing view of Lake Mead, which is awesome too. So it's kind of hit or miss. It seems like more of a place for the kids. Yeah, I think that's it. If anybody's wondering if they should come stay at the Hoover Dam Lodge, yes and no is the answer. Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks for that report. That's a first. We haven't had one on.
We have not.
On Hoover Dam Lodge in Boulder City, so we appreciate that. And we will hear more from Elizabeth and some discussion of her stay there shortly. Did you find anything? I see that you're kind of smirking.
I was just looking at the pictures, and there are a lot of ladders to get to the lofts.
Yeah. A lot of ladders? There's more than
one? You don't have to... There's one on each end.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to climb more than one ladder to get to the loft, but...
Okay. All right, we'll keep looking for actual photos of the structure at Gold Spike.
It's a lot of interior stuff.
Yeah, I saw those.
Not, yeah, okay.
I want to see something that's not on their website.
Oh, okay.
That shows where, like, photos that someone other than a professional photographer took. Maybe on their Facebook page. Okay, anyway, moving along, let's check in with Keith.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. It's Keith from Houston with a 4th of July trip report. My wife and I decided on the spur of the moment we wanted to see the 4th of July fireworks in Vegas. So we flew in on Monday morning, but unfortunately found out that the Strip did their fireworks on Sunday night. So some of the highlights of the trip, we went to the Mob Museum, which I recommend for anyone who's a fan of Vegas history or the Mob. Good way to spend a couple of hours, and I also recommend getting the audio tour. It gives you a little more background on the exhibits. I got to see Big Elvis for the first time. He is awesome. I wish he would put out a DVD. I'd buy it. I'd even pay to see him in concert. I will be seeing him every time I go to Vegas. A couple of food notes. I went to Nacho Daddy. It's the second time I've been to Nacho Daddy. I love their food. The problem is, both times I've been there, I've had really slow service. So I don't know if they just don't have enough servers or what it is, because it wasn't real busy either time I went. I also have a recommendation for people wanting to eat on the cheap. The Binion's Cafe. They've got good food, big portions. I got a Philly cheesesteak that took up half the plate. They've got a good variety on their menu, sandwiches, salads, burgers, entrees. They've even got all-day breakfasts. If you've got a Binion's card, it is very easy to get a two-for-one coupon for the cafe. So I recommend that for anyone wanting to eat on a budget. Anyway, I love the Patreon content, and talk to y'all later.
All right. Thanks for the report. Keith has clearly been listening to the show for a while because he made a breakfast's reference.
Yes.
Yeah, Binion's Cafe is a good cheap option. Just beware, if you order like a burger or something, you might end up with sweet pickles, as I've bitched many times, without any sort of warning that you're being served that abomination of an altered cucumber. I hate sweet pickles. But I respect your right to eat sweet pickles. I just think that people who are serving, restaurants that are serving sweet pickles, need to warn customers that they're going to get this little glop of green shit on their plate instead of what they expect. Whenever I talk about sweet pickles and I hear from all the Southerners who are not happy with my thoughts because they're used to that stuff. You're not getting involved, are you?
I'm not.
So we found, by we I mean you, and then you showed me, found a picture of the tiny house at Gold Spike. And it's even less obscured than I thought in terms of the fence. It's just a little picket fence around it that's about 3 feet high. And there's a lot of windows, and I don't think that they are covered from the inside. So people are going to be looking at you.
Yes.
Don't plan on getting naked in there unless you want everybody to see you.
Mm-hmm. They did say that there was a queen bed on the first floor, so you didn't have to use the loft part.
Okay. So, but if you have six people in there, you're probably not going to all fit in the queen.
No.
They do have an outdoor, in addition to the fireplace inside, it looks like they have an outdoor, little outdoor fire, one of those fire pit table things.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be excessively hot indoors or outdoors.
Yes.
Or you can just wait and use it when it's cold.
Because what do you want in July and August in Vegas? More heat.
And a big bowl of chili. All right. Thank you.
You
for
almost
that.
Had me get you chili the other night, too.
It was like 90 degrees. And I'm like, yeah, pick up some chili. And then you're like, what? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's kind of hot out, isn't it? I don't make good decisions sometimes. But thank you for setting me straight.
I try.
All right. Next up.
Hey, it's Michelle. This is Terry with a trip report. Just went to Atomic Liquors. Great beer selection, but I'll tell you what, I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but holy shit, what a great bathroom. And that's all I got at the moment. I'll call back later. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, so unless they've substantially renovated the bathrooms at Atomic Liquors, I would maybe
not plan a trip just to visit the bathroom.
No, I mean, it's actually, so they've got video monitors up of atomic explosions above the urinals for the guys. I don't know what's going on in yours. It's really small, though. It's like a urinal, a sink, and one stall, and that's it in the men's room. It's kind of a dumpy little bathroom as far as I remember, but while you're peeing, you can watch.
I don't remember if there were videos in the women's room or not. There were about two stalls, and it was tiny, but it was clean.
Yeah, I think it was moderately. I don't know. It didn't strike me as anything that impressive, but, you know, at least there's something to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So I approve of that.
I just don't want anybody to go,
oh my God.
It's no Berlin Wall at Main Street Station.
No, I mean, that's a piece of history you're peeing on there. Whole different deal. This, you're just watching history. Mm. A little different.
I suppose you could pee on the monitors if you wanted, but that'd be messy and wrong.
You'd have to really get a good arch going. They're pretty high. All right, before we...
This is taking a turn.
Yeah, let's move on to our next caller.
Hi, Hundy. This is Greg from Minnesota. First off, just wanted to mention that I just listened to the July 8th podcast and heard from Ian across the pond there, and he's always so awesome to listen to. And I think the British can say just about anything, and it always sounds great, but love hearing from him. Second, there was a caller that had mentioned that the shutters at the Boyd property are kind of a pain. And, yes, I agree. They kind of stink. But one thing is that I had traveled a lot internationally, and this is a few years back, and in the amenity kit, they gave out these blinders, or I guess eye blinds, and it's sort of like what Felix Unger used to wear in The Odd Couple. And, you know, you put those on, and they're actually great for travel. And I always carry those with me. I saved a few, and I throw them in my bag, and in hotels, they're great. So you can usually get a good night's sleep regardless of where you're staying. My bedroom at home is, you know, zero light. There's nothing in there. But in those hotel rooms, you never know what you're going to get. So that's a tip that I think people might be able to benefit from. If they get those eye blinds for travel, they could, you know, give themselves a good night's sleep. So lastly is, in terms of Boyd, I've been Emerald with Boyd for about the last 3 years, and one of the perks that you're supposed to get with Boyd is that if you're Emerald, they'll upgrade you to a nicer room with that higher card level. Well, in the last 6 or 8 trips that I've taken, I have never been upgraded to a suite or a better room. In fact, sometimes I've actually been downgraded. So on the last trip or two, I've actually taken up El Cortez on a couple of their offers. And the last time I was out there, which was in June, I go to the El Cortez and I log and I check in, and they put me in a designer suite. And I'm going, okay, sounds cool. To get up to this room, OMG, they put me in a suite that, okay, so it's 6 years old, but it's called the Big Sleep. And I don't know if you ever go online and look at the Big Sleep Cortez. That room is...
And then he was cut off. 3-minute time limit. Sorry. Our voicemail cuts people off at 3 minutes, and he didn't call back. So anyway, you can tell that he seemed to like the room at El Cortez. We've had some reviews of those design of suites, and people seem
they
to like
it. They sound very nice.
Haven't stayed in one of those yet, no. But I would be open to that, even though we usually take one of the cabana suites when we're there.
I'd like to try one of those sometime.
Yep. For a long time, they weren't available on the website. Now they are. So maybe if we see a reasonable rate one of these trips, we will check that out. All right. Thanks for your report. We do appreciate it. Next up.
Hyundai, super duper sorry, super drunk on Fremont last night. Let me try to give you a little more thorough review of the essence.
He had called previously, which his previous call was actually probably better than he realized, but he expands on his thoughts a little more here, so I thought I'd use this one instead.
Okay.
So, this is Jay from Indiana. And I went to the Essence dispensary across the street from the Stratosphere yesterday afternoon. That was on Tuesday. And they had, they check your IDs at the door, and they do take your name down. And I asked them if it was okay, you know, to do this, because I was concerned with my profession, whether this list would be public
pilot,
and they said it has nothing to do with that.
Surgeon.
It's mainly for them if they want to send you know, like a preferred customers club or something like that. Didn't make a lot of sense, but needless to say, it did say that the list wouldn't be public, wouldn't be attainable. So once you go in, one way you go to the medical way, the other way you go recreational. And they help you. They give you suggestions. They were actually pretty awesome. And the stuff you buy there is pretty awesome. I will give it 5 stars. It was unreal. So thanks for all you do. And have a fantastic Wednesday.
All right. Thank you for that report. So, yeah, the dispensaries do require all cash transactions because marijuana sales are still illegal under federal law.
Mm-hmm.
Banks are not able to do business with them. So, yeah, it's a heavy cash business. In fact, that was so when he was talking about the whole thing about having to give your name and all that mm-hmm. stuff, and it's protected. I'm like, until the federal government decides to shut it down and take all the assets, then they're going to have that list. So yeah, you might want to use some caution still if you have a position that's sensitive. I don't want to freak Jay out, but I would just say, you know, this is still all very iffy,
mm-hmm.
and there is a chance that they could be shut down at any time if the federal government decides to crack down.
Let's hope not.
Yeah, I know. I think, I mean, obviously the states, several states have made this decision and they have a lot of businesses up and running and they're pulling in a lot of tax money. And I personally have no problem with that, but
same.
So anyway, that's as political as we're going to get on this show. we are pro anything that's bad for you.
Yes.
All right. Moving along. Let's check in with Elizabeth again.
Hi, it's Elizabeth calling again. We made it to the Strip, and I'm so excited. I haven't been here in 2 years, and I'm so thrilled to be here. B, we went to the Hoover Dam this morning, which is, like, really amazing. And the only reason why we ended up going was because we stayed at the Hoover Dam Lodge, and so we just kind of drove through there this morning. If anybody wants a little side trip away from Vegas, it's like a half an hour. It's overwhelmingly gorgeous. It's worth it, and you can drive through and park, go early in the morning, and you won't have to pay to park somewhere convenient. There won't be a lot of people if you go earlier. And you can take in some of the natural beauty before going back to the Strip and making a mess of yourself or downtown or wherever.
I like knowing that it's a very beautiful area, because when my ghost haunts Hoover Dam for all of eternity, mm-hmm. which I've said in the past it's going to do, it likes to be surrounded by nice things.
Oh, that's good.
Yep.
So I'm at the left corner right now, looking out of the Strip and our beautiful suite. And the left is a little dated, but we're staying here because my husband has a conference at Mandalay Bay, and it's right next door. I'm appalled by the number of children there are here. The other thing I wanted to bring up was we went to the Mob Museum and felt a little bit taken. I think this is something that people can skip. Unless you're part of some kind of group that gets a discount, like you're military or a student or a senior, it's, you know, $23 at the door plus $6 parking. And, if you've seen a documentary on the mob or you've watched The Godfather, you can skip this. It is not necessary at all. But otherwise, I'm just so thrilled to be here. And we want to go check out the Ellis Island steak dinner and a couple other places. And I might check in again. So thanks. Bye.
All right. We will indeed hear from her again. We don't hear many. We haven't heard a lot of negative things about Mob Museum.
Mm-hmm.
But as with all things, some people like stuff, some people don't.
Yep.
It's a lot of reading.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, to see everything, you got to dedicate several hours. So
mm-hmm.
I get that not everybody would be into it. But for the most part, we've had pretty positive comments. So probably depends kind of how much you're into the mob thing and how much you're not. And
right.
So I totally get that. All righty. Next up.
Again, Tim and Michelle, it's Paul Laughlin calling from the downtown Grand. I should mention that we chose this hotel because of my wife's love of excellent pools. And she is thrilled with the pool here. She spent several hours down there yesterday, and they served her frozen grapes, and she just absolutely loves the pool. I don't care that much. I stayed here and gambled. Speaking of gambling, I've had great success in the little casino here. It's a funky little casino, but I found a video poker machine and had great success on it. In a single session, for example, I hit quad deuces playing deuces wild. I hit quad deuces twice for a grand total of over $500. So I know a lot of people have said kind of unflattering things about the casino, and it does have its challenges. But I can't complain. That's it for now. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks for the call. So he had posted some photos on the Facebook group as well, had some really good luck there. He had his first Royal Flush and nice. Had some other jackpots. So, yeah, congratulations on a great trip. That's awesome. And, you know, I think Downtown Grand, the main, it's kind of like SLS a lot. I don't think it was mainly really the gambling itself. It was more the
lack of energy due to the lack of people.
Yeah, that was a lot of it. And hopefully things are picking up there a little bit. You know, sometimes we'll hear reports that, oh, yeah, it was in there. It was really hopping. And then more often than not, it's like, no, it's still dead. So I think it kind of depends. Once in a while, they might get a surge of people if they've got something going on. But a lot of times it's kind of quiet. But, hey, if you have good luck in the casino or if you like quieter environment, right on. Alrighty, next up.
Hey, this is Renee from Minneapolis, and I just got back from a 3-day trip to Las Vegas. Went there to go see Mel Brooks, which was a fantastic show. Before the show, we ate at Mizumi at the Wynn, which was, the food was good. Service, not so good. The waiter was prompt and efficient, but it was totally into the upselling. You want drinks? No, we're already been drinking. Do you want this? Do you want that? No. But it just wouldn't take no for an answer, and it was kind of irritating. But the food was good. They have robata and all sorts of different kinds of Japanese. So good choice, but hopefully get a better waiter. Went downtown for some gambling at Main Street Station, which is always a great time for craps and card games. So didn't do well on the gambling front, but it was such a great vibe. We had a good time. All the dealers were really personable and fun, so highly recommend that. We ate at a place called Aloha Specialties, I think that's what it's called. It was in the Skyway that's kind of between the California and Main Street Station, which is a nice little quick Hawaiian type food. So we had like a teriyaki rice bowl, which was great, kind of a quick bite, but not like, don't expect anything like super fancy, but you know, when it's like 10 o'clock and you're just hungry, it's perfect. Other than that, I see just kind of standard. Went to Frankie's, which is always fantastic. But we went to a new place, at least for us, was the Pinball Hall of Fame. I was surprised that this place was actually pretty fun. So I mean, each machine kind of has a little story about what its history is and, you know, what its story is. And then you can play all these games. Almost all of them were operational. So you could play machines as old as 1948 or something. So that was an interesting experience. This went to the Cosmo, and one of the things we did is we went into the high limit slot area, and because we found out you can get free cookies there. So get a comp drink, sit at your machine for a little while, get a free cookie. I think there's some other snacks too, and it was fun. But anyway, all in all, great trip, and hope to be back in Vegas again soon. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Thanks for the call, Renee. We do appreciate it.
I like free snacks.
I know. Who doesn't like free snacks? I'm sure maybe somebody doesn't enjoy snacks in general, but... So there you go. High limit room at Cosmo. If you can play there for a little bit, free cookies. I had not heard that. That's interesting. All right. Next up.
Hi, Tim and Michelle. This is Brian from the OC. Hey, I was just at the Cromwell, and I ate at Eat Well, and I also know the answer to how they cook that food. So I got a ham and cheese sandwich, and it was an oven roasted ham and cheese sandwich. It was actually really good. It was only $8 for a pretty sizable sandwich. And the way they do that is they use a oven called a Turbo Chef or a Turbo Oven. Subway rolled these out years ago. They're now a restaurant industry standard. And they're able to cook with both convection, dry heat, and microwave heat at the same time. And you can program these ovens to cook either all conventional heat or all microwave or combinations of both to hit different toasty points in your breads and melty points in your cheeses and meats. And it does it all in just about 2 minutes. At microwave speed, that's how you can actually take that refrigerated food and actually make it really quick and make it actually toasty and melty and taste really good. And my sandwich was really nice. So Eat Well, they do well. I never saw anybody waiting for food there the 2 days that I was visiting, though. Thanks for the podcast. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for the report. I appreciate that. I'm familiar with that product from Bar Rescue. That's one of those things that they put in when there's a bar that has like a really small kitchen space and they need to serve food of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And they can make all kinds of stuff really quick and really easy. So, yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, good report. Thanks, Brian. Wondering how they did that and whether or not it was anything decent. So, sounds like halfway decent, cheap option if you're in the Cromwell area. All right. Next up, a different Brian.
Hey, it's Brian from Wisconsin. Just waking up after our first night here till Monday. Got a little drunk last night. Decided to try In-N-Out drunk instead of sober to see if I liked it more. I still say Culver's is better. In-N-Out wasn't anything special. I don't know what all the hype is. Try and call back later this week for some more updates, but wanted to get that one out there. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Brian. I'm with you.
I fucking love Culver's.
Me too. It's not available everywhere. It's a Midwest thing. I don't know how widely spread
Welcome
is Culver's.
Welcome to Delicious.
It is delicious. So that's our In-N-Out here in the Midwest. Let's just say that.
Mm-hmm.
People on the West Coast go gaga for their In-N-Out. And yeah.
I enjoy Culver's. I enjoyed Culver's on Friday.
I know. So good. Okay. Moving along. Some other stuff that's very good.
Hey, Michelle. First time caller. This is Josh. I'm outside the Evil Pie. Phenomenal pizza in about a minute and a half. It's fantastic. And how can you beat all the cool Evel Knievel gear all over? The pinball machines, the pictures, it's fantastic. Love it. Come back again. And by the way, would have never been here or to the Griffin or to Atomic Liquors if it wasn't for you guys. So thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right, cool. I always am happy to hear that somebody had a good experience based on something that they heard about on the show and they wouldn't have tried otherwise. So that's great.
Yay.
Yeah. Evil Pie is really a good quick option.
Mm-hmm.
I like that place. All right, one more call. Let's check in a final time with Elizabeth.
Hey, 500. I'm calling. This is Elizabeth, and we are back in Northern California, and I'm just trying to recover from a really great trip to Vegas that had been way, way, way too long. So there were really just two things that I wanted to report back on. First of all, the Irish pub in Mandalay Bay called Re-Raw was really great. I had fish and chips there that is like the best fish and chips I've had since I was in Ireland. And I'm kind of a fish and chips like snob slash fiend slash I order them all the time. And they were just really delicious. It was like you were eating them right out of the newspaper. The service was not super great, which was unfortunate. You know, they were busy, but I imagine that they get even busier. So, you know, the service wasn't great, but the food was incredible. Everything was incredible. My husband had the prime rib. It was really great, too. And then our last time we went to Ellis Island, and that was a really interesting experience. The casino was, like, kind of small and loud, and it can be like a fun environment if that's what you're going for. They advertise like an $8 steak or prime rib or some kind of cut of meat. I think you have to be in the Players Club to get that. So it's a little bit of a misnomer, but their food was very good and extremely reasonable. The service was really bad, but on the way back, we got an Uber on the way back, and our driver said, you know, I really like to go to Ellis Island, like, at, like, 2 or 3 in the morning. And I realized that totally is the kind of place it is. It's, like, you know, a really great place to go really late at night / early in the morning. I wouldn't necessarily go there for, like, a big dinner out at a more reasonable time again. But I'm glad I went. And we got off this trip a little bit, and hopefully we're going back soon, and we want to check out more stuff off the trip. So that's it. I want to go back really badly, even though I am so exhausted I can hardly move. Anyway, love the show. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks for all your calls.
Yeah.
That's a sign of a good trip when you're still exhausted and you want to plan your next one.
Yep.
A couple things. So Re-Ra is awesome. Like that place a lot.
We haven't been there in a long time. Yeah.
Well, that's a good place to go if you're into Irish whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Find a lot of good stuff there. They've got like Jameson flights with all kinds of different kinds of Jameson. And yeah, I like that place a lot. The Ellis Island steak dinner thing. So yeah, they've made it more complicated over the years. And first, you have to go and get a Players Club card if you don't have one. And then you run it through. They have a little kiosk. And you run it through there. And they'll kick out your voucher. And the voucher is good for like a dollar or two off for the whole table. But then if you want to bring it down another buck or two, whatever it is, to that $7.99 price, each person has to get an individual one. And to do that, you have to play $5 through a machine using your player's card and then go back to that kiosk. So, you know, the whole thing, if you haven't been there before and you want to do it, it takes maybe 5 or 10 minutes. It's not a huge deal. And you might lose $5, but you might not. You might win. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a little bit of an ordeal, but if you want to be able to be excited because you saved $3 or something, then that's how you do it. All right. So thanks to all the callers this week. We appreciate it. How's our little dog doing? He's a little animated this afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a little exuberant.
Oh, wraps things up so he can get all of our attention for the rest of the day. A quick karma donation. Thank you to Greg. When he sent this, he was headed to Vegas the next day and said, keep up the good work with the podcast.
Thank you.
We'll keep up the work on the podcast. Cannot make any claims about the quality. That's up to you to decide. All right. Thank you all so much. We do appreciate you listening and supporting the show and all that good stuff. It's interesting. We've had on the Facebook group lately, we've had quite a surge of people joining the Facebook group. And I think Facebook has, I don't know why I'm even talking about this, but Facebook has made groups a new priority, and they're doing a lot of advertising of groups. So there's a ton of people joining the group that I assume have no idea what the podcast is. It's
what about the questionnaire?
People will either lie or they'll say, I plan to start listening, because they've allowed me to add questions. And I say, how long have you been listening to the podcast and where did you hear about the group? Sometimes I can tell that they're full of shit if they say they've been listening to the podcast for 3 years, but they heard about the group somewhere else. Yeah, sure you have, motherfuckers. Anyway, so we've got some new blood on the Facebook group. If it gets weird over there, that's why. If it gets weirder, I should say. All right, so that's it. We'll see you on the Facebook group. 500bymidnight.com is our website. You can email us if you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions, 500@gmail.com. We are on Twitter. I'm 500. She's Anita Martini. Our voicemail line is available to you anytime, day or night, 702-866-9494. We'd love to hear from you, whether you're in Vegas or not, with your reviews, thoughts, blah, blah, blah. And we're going to have some Vegas Nerd Summit news coming up soon, too. I know that Hunter's been working hard on that, and he's getting close to being able to announce some more stuff. So stay tuned for that. All right, I think that's it. Thank you, as always, for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We'll be back soon with another show, and we hope you have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.